100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Well, it's happened. The NFL draft is in the books, so we have that. Got plenty to get into today. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation if you like to do so. Buddy, we'll take your phone calls over in the LaRose studios on the Ruderman Can caller and guest line. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in there. If you want to go see all the things they can do, RuderManCan.com is the way to do so. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. NoWakeOutfitters.com is the way to do so. All right, got a lot to get into today. We will go over all of the things that took place over the weekend for the New Orleans Saints as they have welcomed in a handful of players here. We will also go over what's going on tonight over at the Smoothie King Center. It's the Pelicans getting ready to take on the Thunder in Game 4 of the first round Western Conference playoff series with the Thunder. They are down 3-0. Obviously, we saw them go down on Saturday. And I'm interested, and we'll throw that out there with you guys already, as to what, you know, obviously we have seen so far in this series. And what do you make of that? Okay, so got a handful of questions I'm going to toss out there for you. First and foremost, Saints fans, how do you feel about the draft just looking at it? And look, it's one of those things where you want to know, you know, was it good? You look at draft grades. Pro Football Focus gave the Saints an A. So that it's not a bad thing. You know, obviously when you look at it, the other thing is you really don't know, right? Until obviously they play and then you look at a, you know, season or two in the books and you have an idea of what they're going to be able to provide for you. Now that said, you do also at the time when you look at draft and see, hey, did you get the needs? Did you get the musts? We're going to hear from Dennis Allen, all of the draft picks here as well, plus Willie Green and some players here as well as they get into game four. So all of that is in on the books. But you have like those overall thoughts and themes on it here as well when you look at all of the teams in the NFC South that are going to be ready to go, the Saints going to be ready to go, how competitive they're going to be, the Eagles get stronger, all of that and so forth. But I kind of want to start with the Pels just in almost looking at how other teams have done in the postseason here as well. Yesterday, you saw the Phoenix Suns go down and they got swept. And obviously the Pels have to win tonight to not get swept. Now that said, I don't know. Are we seeing a changing of the guard or not? And how teams maybe get built or not? I saw over the weekend a handful of people, including Christian Clark and others, were posting really what you've seen in terms of payroll and things like that. Like the Suns have $116 million that are committed next year already to the team. And because of the new CBA rules and things of that nature, you can't exactly you know, trade two for one. There's a handful of different things, which we'll get into here with Christian a little bit here as well. And the reason why I say changing of the guard, maybe the way that teams are building could be changing a bit, is because I almost feel that I've been making kind of the same argument when it comes to, say, the NFL and how teams in the NFL are doing the, hey, we're going to try to win with the rookie contract underneath. You know, and in there and try to work in that aspect of it instead of maybe going out and paying the free agent quarterback, which the Falcons did. Falcons went out and did that. And then they surprised everybody by taking Michael Penix. So I think when you look at it from that perspective, it's very similar in this aspect. The Phoenix Suns went out there and got Kevin Durant to go alongside Devin Booker. Then they went and got Bradley Beal. And there is a lot of money tied in to those two players, all those three players. And I think when you look at the top three teams in the Western Conference, just something just kind of stands out to me more than anything else. Because it's something that you're going to obviously bring up and talk about once the season gets going and underway here, the offseason that is. What do you do if you're the Pels? There are some very real metrics. There's some very real things you're seeing with the eyes. Do pieces fit? Do pieces work? What do you need to do? What do you need to adjust? All those different aspects of it. But when I look at Minnesota and look at OKC specifically and Denver, all three of those teams are teams that have built from within. From the draft, developed players, learned through the processes, and they are where they are now. And I guess it hit me listening to Anthony Edwards yesterday after in postgame, and he's up there with, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, who was drafted a couple years ago, it was now 10, to be kind of their franchise player, their dominant player. And he hadn't gotten out of the first round of the series. And you're listening to Anthony Edwards talk about the trust factor and Chris Finch, who suffered a patella tendon tear yesterday, late in the fourth quarter, about a minute or so left as players ran into him over there on the bench. But he mentioned, and it's hard to kind of think about it, but he's been around 4 years. And he mentioned it was year two that it was really when he decided, or not he decided, but when things kind of went the route of he trusts what Coach Finch had to say and Coach Finch trusted what he had to say. That was 2 years ago, though. So in those two seasons, you're seeing the growth process, give and take. And let's not forget, Minnesota was a team that was also playing with the Pels to be in that final play-in spot, the eighth seed, the play-in spot, the last couple seasons, not in the playoffs. OKC, similar situation. They're the ones that found a guy in SGA and tried to build around it. When you're looking at Lou Dort and Williams and all these other guys that are making threes in this series, that are defending in this series, all homegrown, playing minutes, developing, doing those things. All of that adds to it and helps to it. Denver was a team that built from within. And the other thing, too, is it's something that kind of stands out to me. They have young, dynamic point guards or young players as well that added to their already solid vet or a good player that they wanted to get, instead of maybe going out and buying, I know they did the Rudy Gobert trade, and it took, look, it kind of didn't go well last year, and it took almost this season to kind of do it, but it was Anthony Edwards kind of stepping up to, you know, MVP caliber level in order to do that. So I think when I look at everything and how it's gone, that's something that really has stood out to me. And we're going to talk about, obviously, the offseason, what to do with New Orleans, and what should they do? But it is interesting. You're looking at teams that are going to be on the brink of elimination, aside from New Orleans, like the Lakers. The Lakers have a high tax, you know, payroll, all that stuff that you look at. We'll talk to Christian a little bit about it here as well, as it is a very high number when you look at it. The Phoenix Suns. I mean, there's teams that you can look up and down. The Sixers, there's a lot of teams that are spending gazillions, because I think a lot of times when we talk about what the Pels should do or not, there's always a section that says, hey, why not go into that luxury tax and do those things? Is it the way to go? Like, are you looking at the way the season is going right now for the Pels? You go, hey, next year at all costs, go get players. Go do it. I kind of feel I'm not on that side. The Band-Aid approach, the let's try to fix it quick. I almost feel like maybe from the get-go you started out a certain way that maybe you should. And I think you continue to develop young players, build them around Zion. I mean, I can go into more detail into it, and I will, but it's just, it's hard for me to not see what happened in Phoenix and go, well, duh, look what happens there. When you pay three people max money, or you have to give up assets, whether it's first-round picks or good players, role players. It's hard to win when that happens. You look at Golden State. It's crazy. I mean, their tax bill is $176 million. The Clippers, $142. This is the tax money. This is money they've spent after their payroll. So that's a cash check. Ownership has to go in there. Phoenix. Milwaukee. Look at the Pacers. Young, athletic group growing together. Not paying that. And it's just something to think about because obviously if the Pels don't achieve what I think a lot of us wanted them to achieve, and that's to get into the second round, I think there's going to be a lot of people go make the big trades. You see it all the time. Big name, big trade. I almost feel like it'd be a big mistake. I'm not saying don't make moves, don't make additions, don't do certain things. But I already saw it this morning, especially after last night, all the reports, shams. Frank Vogel could be fired. Kevin Durant, not happy, doesn't like how the offense was used. Let's trade for Kevin. Let's trade for Trae Young. I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I'm not saying it wouldn't help. But the risk-reward, the cost factor, is that the right approach? I'm just looking at it. I don't know. Is that sustainable? Does that make sense? And is that really the problem? That you don't have enough star players or enough max players or throwing another one in. And so, I don't know. It's something to kind of keep an eye on, though, because obviously, look, you look at the Lakers and you look at them being down 3-1, maybe out of the season here as well. Suns being done. You look just around. I mean, Sixers don't look the same. Obviously, you could say Embiid is, you know, not healthy and all, but that's an organization that's fired coaches, traded for different players, just trying to quickly find the next best piece to try to win that year or not. And I'm just looking at, to me, and it's just my opinion, but the three best-looking teams so far this postseason are the top three teams in the Western Conference. They've all been built from within. Homegrown. Figured it out. Adding as you go along. But it's something to keep an eye on. As you get into the postseason, game four, pretty simple. CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram, you're going to need more from them. I mean, when you were looking at in the last couple of games, going into that, I know Christian posted this, and we're going to talk to him coming up later on in the show at 12:30. You know, SGA had 61 points going into that. CJ and Ingram at 65 combined. Like, they've just struggled. But it doesn't make any sense to not do exactly what OKC is doing if you're going to face this Pels team by the way they're currently constructed and rostered the way it is right now. I don't think, because I heard this a lot here as well after the game, on they don't want to play. They don't care. I think they've got a confidence issue, and you'll hear here soon from Willie Green about that specifically. But also, when you look at what they have on the floor here, they're making the right reads. The shots are there. They're not falling. But you have to look at who's taking those shots. Is that the best way to go about it or not? Those are conversations to have otherwise. But OKC is making life miserable for B.I., being physical with him, and CJ is being forced to take tough shots, or he's not hitting them when they're open. And the Thunder or any other team is going to live with, you know, the guys that are coming off the bench that coach is using right now that aren't three-point shooters, aren't known as shooters, taking the shots. So if your top two guys aren't getting shots down and you're depending on non-shooters to have good nights, you're making it really hard on yourself to win. I don't know. That's what I take out of this series. Love to hear from you, Pels fans. 800-998-1003, Naruto Man Can, caller and guest hotline. What do you make of the first three games that you've seen? I mean, that's what I see. I see a team in OKC that's consistent, knows who they are, knows their identity, built from within, contributing or getting contributions from their draft picks. And I see a team in the Pels that in the last month and a half to 2 months struggled with what their identity was, almost seemed to change that identity was, and are depending on people that aren't known as shooters to now shoot because their top two players are being locked down and defended well. I mean, that's what I see. And the things that plagued you through the season are here and showing up again. Turnovers, inability to close late, and consistency from beyond the arc. I mean, those are the three things we've talked about in losses when the Pelicans play. Those are things we're talking about through three games of the first round series with the Thunder. Quick break. We come back. We'll take your phone calls. Not only on that, but Saints fans, I want to hear from you. I know Uncle Earl is all excited. He texted me 14-3 already because of the Colorado State tight end, who's an undrafted rookie free agent. 14-3. I want to hear from you. Sports Hangover and ESPN New Orleans.
Hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. Saints getting, I think when you look at the draft and the fact, look, and obviously grades are grades. And I saw this morning a lot of people saying, before you focus on grades, keep in mind one thing, that the probably best quarterback, not probably, best quarterback in the league right now, Patrick Mahomes, got a C- on that. What is your main takeaway, Saints fans, from the draft? What is it? Is it Spencer Rattler? I got a lot of people talking about that with him. Why did he take a quarterback? Why him? Why fifth round? Good value. I mean, why not? Dennis Allen said, hey, look, this is a guy that when you look at his career, number one rated quarterback. I know Matt Moscone even tweeted about it here as well. Coming out of high school, maybe the, I think Ian Rappaport even said it during their NFL coverage. The reality show that he was doing in high school, probably not the way to go. Didn't make him look good. Saw some of those clips circulating over the weekend. Yikes. That said, when you look at his career, have you seen growth? Have you seen him grow up? And look, and I know they posted, and everyone's talking about the quarterback room, and you're looking at, you know, Mond and Peterman, there's Hayner, and there's Rattler. All right. Let's compete, see who's better, and see if somebody can come in and do that. When you hear about his talent, everyone talks about, of course, the arm talent. Does he have the leadership qualities, all those things? Look, I think when we were going into the draft, one of the things I said is this team has as many needs as possible, and you can use as many players as possible. So I'm good with what they did. When you take a look at the Saints draft picks, did they address musts? Did they address needs? Look, we'll see once it goes, but Taliese Fuaga, we talked about him on Friday, makes sense. No sacks given up this season. Physical, active, athletic. Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl, nothing but praise for him. Cool. Kool-Aid McKinstry, move up for him. Ah, here they go moving up. Look at what they gave up. It's not bad. And more importantly, as Dennis Allen said, you can never have enough good corners. In the fifth round, now, he did say, Dennis Allen, they really didn't think about moving up to the third and fourth. They were cool with just waiting for it, and he sat there and waited and got the players they wanted. As we said, first pick in the fifth round, Spencer Rattler. Then after that, wide receiver Bub Means. I keep seeing over and over again, he was kind of great as a third-round talent. I know a lot of the people that follow the draft kind of call that a bit of a steal as to where he's at. And when you hear Dennis Allen speak about him, it's physical, yards after catch, things of that nature. Remember, that's what this team sort of needs. I'm not saying, I saw somebody post, that could be the Deebo Samuel kind of, look, it's going to be hard to not try to find comparable pieces or things that the 49ers do to what Clint Kubiak's going to do. But that's why they went after him. Jalen Ford, I love what he had to say afterwards. You know, I model myself after Lavonte David, solid linebacker for Tampa Bay. And DA saying he sees him as a guy that's going to come in, do special teams, but also compete. Ford said it when he met with the local media. Here to be on special teams. I'm here to compete and learn from DeMario Davis. Christian Boyd, defensive tackle from the same school that Trevor Penning was in, who, by the way, in his meeting with the media, said that he's been working out with Trevor, and he expects a breakout season from Trevor Penning. Awesome. And then Josiah Ezraim, I'm going to play his call that he got with his family going nuts is hilarious, especially towards the end when everybody's excited. Can't wait to see it on TV. And obviously somebody is excited with the remote, turns the TV off right before he's about to get announced on TV. But he's another big tackle there as well in the seventh round. So two tackles on the offensive side, a defensive tackle, a corner, a quarterback, a receiver, and a linebacker. Those are all positions that could use a body, that could use speed, that could use that. By the way, Bub Means, speed. McKinstry, just solid. I saw somebody describe him as a boring cornerback, just does all the things about it. You'll hear what he has to say as to his philosophy on that as well. And Fuaga just looks like a guy that's going to start day one on the line. So that's why maybe Pro Football Focus went and gave them an A. Jeff, what you got for us today on the Sports Hangover? Thanks for calling the Rooter Man Can caller and guest line. Hello? Hello, Jeff?
Can you hear me now?
Yep,
can you hear
gotcha,
me now?
Man.
Can you hear me now? All right. I just want to put my two cents in. You know, I've seen 1 year's worth of Derek Carr, and Jameis Winston isn't on the Saints anymore, so Spencer Rattler hadn't even been a Saints for 48 hours yet, and he's already the best quarterback on the roster.
What does that say?
Oh, I think it speaks for itself, doesn't it? Is Jake Haener still on the team? Is he even property of the Saints anymore?
No, he's still on the team.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, all right. I mean, we all know Rattler's not going to start, and it would be a fool to make him start, but I stand by what I say. He's the best quarterback on the roster. I mean, you know, Derek Carr and Dennis Allen have that little relationship we don't know about. But, you know, I like Rattler for the future. He's obviously not the guy for right now. I mean, you know, he's got to learn. But, you know, I like that pick a lot. I do have to say, I'm going to do like Colin Cowherd. You know, I called your show and railed against Jaden Daniels. So I'm going to do like Colin Cowherd, where Colin was right, Colin was wrong, where Jeff was right, where Jeff was wrong. Where Jeff was wrong is that Jaden Daniels was indeed the second pick of the draft, which means that Washington is going to be pulling in the top 10 for the next foreseeable future, probably 7 years. Where Jeff was right, though, is that the Pelicans are about to get bounced. What do you think there, Gus?
So you think Jaden Daniels, even though he got picked where he is, you're still not going to be convinced with him, are you?
I mean, the law of large numbers, or if that's even the right term to use there, and NFL history tells you, I mean, there were six quarterbacks picked in the first round. At least two are going to be bust, and I'm picking Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, personally.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see. I think there's a lot of transferable things that you saw in college today. So, I don't know. I don't see that he's going to, like, I know you called before and you called him Jamarcus Russell and stuff. I mean, that's
not. I called him RG3 because I was like, I can't believe the same franchise is going to make the same mistake.
Dude, RG3 before he got hurt was not bad. Like,
I know he took him to the playoffs, but yeah, he got broken in half and he was done in 3 years. And that's what I see happening to Jaden Daniels. That's my point. Like I told you, like Bo Nix, people are laughing because Sean Payton pulled Bo Nix. Man, Sean Payton's going to get probably 12 good years out of Bo Nix. And if there's ever, come on, if there's ever a coach that can turn something into, you know, a quarterback into something great, it is Sean Payton. So he might be on to something there. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying if it were my franchise and I was looking at 12 good years of Bo Nix and maybe four flash in the pan out of Jaden Daniels, I know who I would have picked. But, you know, I guess that's why I don't have that job. And we'll see. Like I said, Washington's going to be picking in the, you know, top six picks of the draft for the next 10 years. So, you know, mark my words.
Believe me, we'll remember it. If you're right, you can host the show. If you're wrong, you're going to have to eat a lot of grub.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't mind hosting your show. That sounds like fun.
You going to host the show?
Maybe. You know, I'm good when I call in, aren't I?
Do you want an honest answer?
I mean, you know.
You can always come to our live remotes. I'll give you a headset. How about that?
All right. That sounds great. Maybe I can meet John Forkay and hang out with him because he thought the same thing I did.
Yeah, well, he owes me a steak. So who's right?
But I can't, you know, I don't think I could be friends with John Forkay, though. He doesn't like you, too. You know, it's like, come on. I can't trust his taste in music.
No, I hear you, man. I hear you, dude.
Well, anyway, I like the Spencer Rattler pick. That was the main reason I decided. I can't complain with the Saints draft, which surprises me because Dennis Allen is still the head coach. But I mean, I feel like they did a very good job.
Yeah,
not for this year. Not for this year, but I think the fruits of this draft will start popping up next season and the season after that.
Good point. And like I said, that's why I think when I look at basically on this draft, and just why I keep looking at the staff, I keep looking at them like this is not a, you know, 3-month fix here. So I do agree with you on that. I think this is for the future, if that makes sense.
Going back to Spencer Rattler, Joe Montana was a third-round pick, and we all know the story about Tom Brady, but Jamarcus Russell was a first-round pick. J.P. Lossman was a first-round pick. Ryan Leaf was a first-round pick. I mean, you see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Well, I want to play some sound here. I finally found my cable, sir. So let me get Dennis Allen's overall thoughts on the draft this day. Thank you for the phone call, Jeff. Appreciate it. This is your Saints head coach overall on Saturday. How we think the team did?
Yeah, look, I think overall I feel, you know, good about it. I feel like, you know, we've addressed some needs at the skill positions. We've addressed needs with some big guys. I think there's still some things that we'll still need to do, you know, prior to probably getting into training camp. There'll be another round of things that happen in the next couple of weeks, you know, after the draft, after everybody gets a chance to figure out what they have in their draft picks and reevaluate their rosters. And, you know, so we'll see, you know, what happens over the next couple of weeks. But I feel really good about what we were able to do. I mean, again, like I said, you know, we got a, you know, starting caliber offensive tackle. You know, we got a starting caliber corner. And then we got a really good, you know, developmental quarterback in our first three picks. And, you know, I think that's good. And then I think we added some depth and some developmental players at the back end of the roster that have a chance to come in and compete for, like I said before, you know, backup spots, roster positions, practice squad spots. So, I thought there were some good things that we did. And I felt like we addressed a couple of needs, you know, maybe not fully addressed, but, you know, addressed a couple of needs in this draft too.
So that's Coach there. Overall thoughts on how he thought the team did. Quick break. We come back. Christian Clark will join us, and he will discuss what he thinks is going to take place tonight and what he's taken so far from what the Pels have done through three games against the Thunder. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Broken faucet? Faucet dripping? Can't stop the leak? You know who can?
Rudiman can! Rudiman can! Rudiman can! 262-8222! 262-8222!
My name is Juanita Segura. I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer for about 8 years now. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
This is Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
And the barber takes one look down at me and he says, "Would you like us to wax your nostrils?" I said, "What the hell? Let's do this."
What? Come on.
I don't know why I didn't realize how much it was going to hurt.
Oh.
He yanks out that first one. Nothing has ever hurt like that in my life. It's astonishing. I'm begging him not to do the other one. But he says, "No, you got to do it." I came home in tears. I came home literally weeping. I cried like a small kid when they shoot Old Yeller at the end of the movie. Hysterical crying. And I'm asking states for bandages. It bled. I've got blood now. So my advice, if I may,
to anyone listening is if anyone ever says, can I wax any part of you? Say no.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. As always, appreciate the time Mr. Christian Clark gives us from the Advocate and Picayune covers your New Orleans Pelicans in the NBA. Christian, how are you this afternoon, sir?
Dude, doing great. Got a little jazz fest in yesterday.
There you
go. A little soft shell crab po' boy, some yakka main. I'm fueled and ready to go for game four.
So I kind of opened up the show and I was going to play sound and kind of get into what happened in game three. What's the adjustments here on four? I just look at the top three teams in the West, Christian, and I see teams that have built within, that have developed their draft picks and played and just have been consistent all season long. And that's almost like a side companion to what I've been watching with these three games with the Thunder. What is your overall take through three games of the Thunder from the Pelicans? What have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the timing of the Zion injury was extremely unfortunate. I mean, Ingram, I don't know if he's 100% right now. Like, we need to lead with those things. But having said that, like, I think why this is so tough to stomach is Oklahoma City is as much of a non-glamour market as New Orleans. Like, the Pelicans and the Thunder are in similar positions in terms of free agents. The really good free agents are just not signing there. And so you have to draft and build from within. And the Pelicans, after two pretty rough years, first 2 years of Zion and B.I. era, have done pretty well these last 3 years. But you're looking at the Thunder, and they've just done it better from top to bottom. I mean, it's an exceptionally well-managed franchise, well-coached. They have a better roster than the Pelicans. Their pieces fit together. I think that's, you know, one of the kind of the criticism of this roster is there's a lot of talent here, but they don't really fit together that well. And I think the biggest data point indicating that when C.J. McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson were on the floor together, the Pelicans were a net negative this season. They got outscored.
That's hard to kind of look at and say that works, right? I mean, because look, it's how I look at it from this standpoint here as well. And I know fans are fans and media. Look, even my wife's. Are they trying? Do they care? Do they want to lose? I don't think that's the issue. Willie talked about the confidence. Christian, I just look at it like this. The Thunder are going to be physical with Brandon Ingram. He doesn't like it. They're going to make CJ make tough shots. And if he's off, he's off. And then they will live every day and night, every year with, and again, not being offensive, but undrafted players trying to shoot corner threes, or Herb Jones, who's a defensive guy, shooting threes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And you know, CJ, I think, is 5 of 22 from 3 in the series. I mean, they depended on him heavily to be a floor spacer. That's, you know, the biggest reason why he gets paid more than $30 million to knock down threes. And he had a fantastic regular season, third in three-pointers made per game among all players. He's not been that guy in the playoffs. That has really hurt the Pelicans. Herb Jones, you know, they were going to make him prove it. He's been okay in the series and really just shut Ingram's water off. I think the knee is a factor with Ingram, but I do think it's more complicated than that. Like, what the difference you're seeing in him in this first round series this year versus mm-hmm. 2 years ago against Phoenix. I think Lu Dort is a better point of attack defender than what he dealt with 2 years ago, primarily with Jay Crowder and Torrey Craig. And there was a little Mikal Bridges, but Mikal primarily guarded CJ McCollum in that series. And I think the other thing too is Chet Holmgren, I mean, is an elite rim protector already in year one. DeAndre Ayton was not that. I mean, Brandon Ingram barely shot at the rim in this series. I mean, barely shot at the rim. Like, that would be one of my notes for him. It's like, when a guy's going to press up on you, go by him and get to the rim. And he just really hasn't been able to do that in this series.
That's interesting because, obviously, Chet, in one of those games, game two, was launching threes. He's capable of doing that. And then in game three, you know, I'm closing my eyes and I can, whether or not it's a foul or not, he's blocking Trey Murphy in a dunk, you know, to your point. I mean, but that's a player that has really added, as you just mentioned, it's not just the scoring, it's the defensive aspect, but it's also kind of maybe keeping a guy from doing something, and that's even a whole another avenue. So Willie, after practice yesterday, Christian says, all cards are on the table, and we need to find some offense. For the Jordan Hawkins, Matt Ryan fans, does this mean we see them at all?
That's what that comment sounded like to me. It sounded like we could see Jordan Hawkins in there in the lineup. If you just look at the numbers, this has been one of the worst offensive performances by a playoff team in the last 5 years. The points the Pelicans are scoring per 100 possessions, it's the worst by a playoff team since the Chicago Bulls in 2021-2022. They have a lot of problems. That's been the biggest one. They just cannot generate any offense right now. 92, 92, and 85 points in the first three games. Even without Zion, I don't think anyone imagined that the Pelicans would struggle this much on the offensive end. It's honestly been a little bit stunning to me. I think they had to try anything. They had to be willing to try anything. You know, I tweeted the quote about Willie saying, hey, we're gonna get some more shooting in the lineup, and like, you know, 1 million quote tweets and fans really mad. I honestly don't know if you know, like, playing Jordan Hawkins over Jose Alvarado in the first three games of the series makes that much of a difference, honestly. I just think the Thunder are way better on a lot of different levels.
Yeah. When you look at adjustments, is it just as simple as got to make the shots? I mean, that's what Willie said yesterday too as well. Do you think they have to try something else on the defensive side to get going tonight? I'm just trying to find a way to turn things around, Christian.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think one of the adjustments we saw in Game 3 was Larry Nance Jr. started the second half, and they put him on Josh Giddey. And the Pelicans are saying, hey, Josh Giddey, like, if you're going to beat us as a three-point shooter and as a scorer, so be it. And they didn't really do that much of that in Game 2. So, like, if it's Jonas Valanciunas starting tonight or Larry Nance Jr., I wouldn't be shocked if either of those guys is on Giddey and they just ignore Giddey and try to make him beat them as a three-point shooter. I could see them going to that one. I think that's kind of, you know, one of the obvious adjustments they could go through. I mean, Ingram is I've seen him on the ball so much and just create no separation. I'm almost at the point where I'm like, they got to just run him off of screens and just figure out ways to get him a little separation before he even catches the ball. Because Dort has just completely taken away his airspace. You know, he's just right in his jersey. So, you know, like, continuing to find ways to get Ingram the ball with a little separation, mainly on the move a little bit. I mean, I think some of that is on Ingram, just to, like, move without the ball and be active. But, yeah, I think those are some of the adjustments. And, you know, it would be great if CJ could hit some threes, too.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you, too, and look, we're going to have time, obviously, whether it's tonight or next week or whatever, once the offseason gets going, as to what they do and things of that nature. But I opened up the show by saying, are we seeing or going to be seeing a changing of the guard in this aspect of it, perhaps, or just maybe a change of philosophy from the league of, you know, there was the big three, then it was the big two, and then it was, hey, let's go get these big players and that. And when you look around at some of the teams that are either about to get sent home or could be, and I'll throw in Milwaukee in there as well, that maybe trade, I don't know. Obviously, if Giannis is playing, I don't know if it'd be different, but I'm specifically looking at the Suns. And obviously, you get this a lot when we mention this team trade day, shouldn't they? When you look at the teams, and I saw what you tweeted over the weekend, and I thought it was excellent, about all these teams that are spending an insane amount of money and also have given up assets to try to bring in, quote-unquote, all-star, superstar talents together. Is that really the way to go? Or, as I mentioned, Christian, those three teams, Denver, OKC, Minnesota, they've been kind of built from within. And you see kind of where they are now. I don't know. What do you think? Because obviously you know what happens if the Pels lose tonight or lose soon. Hey, I already saw it. Trade for Kevin Durant. Trade for Trae Young. Trade for a big name. Get rid of this guy. Get rid of all your draft picks. I don't know, Christian. I almost feel like I don't know if that's the way I want them to go.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think with New Orleans specifically, they don't have any other option but to, you know, draft talent, develop their own players. I mean, you know, I think there's a possibility that you can swing a well-timed trade here and there for a pretty good player. I mean, you know, the CJ thing has, I think there's a ceiling on him as a player, but he's clearly made them better as a team and as an organization. Like, they're unquestionably in a better place than they were 2 years ago. But if you're New Orleans, yeah, you can do that a little bit, but like, what's realistic? You know, would Kevin Durant wanted to have come here last year? I mean, like, you know, there's just some guys who just aren't going to come to New Orleans, and you have to be realistic about it. I mean, you have to draft and develop your own talent, and Pelicans have some wins too. I mean, Trey Murphy at 17, W. Herb Jones at 35, W. Jose Alvarado has really struggled in this series, but I think in the regular season was an excellent bench player on one of the best benches in the NBA. Undrafted guy, that's W. So there have been some wins, certainly. And the Pelicans have no choice, man. They have no choice but to primarily draft and develop their own talent. You just have to be realistic about who you are.
Yeah. Look, obviously, I can't wait to sit down. I'm going to invite you. Come on to one of the Thursdays, man. Pick it. Do you want the deli, Francesca's? You want Katie's on Thursday? When the season ends, come and sit down, because we're going to do this. And like, I'm not saying I already have the plan, but let's just say I've screen captured top point guards in the NBA draft. All right, already. So I'm like, just at all costs, this is kind of what I'm thinking. At all costs, go do whatever it is you need to do. Go get that guy. Because I'm just seeing what Anthony Edwards is doing. I'm seeing what some of these other guys do. Jamal Murray's impact to Denver, you know, and OKC just having that 1-2 counter with that. Zion, you've seen in this series, kind of almost look like the leader that I think people kind of want. You can see that agitation in there, Christian. I just say build around him. I think Trey and Herb are solid foundational pieces. You have some maybe perhaps three-point shooting in Jordan Hawkins. Develop him a bit. And then get yourself a point guard, man. Get yourself a nice 6'6 point guard. I don't know who that is. I haven't looked into it, but I already started looking into that. That's just me. Because it's the offense of being stagnant. It's the turnovers. It's the not closing late. And when I look at the teams that are winning, they have a ball handler. Not people that can bring the ball up the court. They have a person known as a ball handler. That's a difference to me, Christian.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting summer. I mean, you know, I think, you know, that more of that pure point guard type could absolutely help the Pelicans. They're just, there's not that many of those guys who even exist anymore.
Right.
I definitely think, you know, a better fitting center could help the Pelicans. I don't have a hard opinion of like which one I would rather have. It's just kind of contextual for me of like, well, what's the deals that are out there? I will say that like one of my big takeaways from this series is five out is a cheat code. The Thunder go five out and create all sorts of space with their ball handlers for Chet Holmgren, and then they bring a guy in Jalen Williams off the bench who allows them to go five out even with the reserve units. And I think, honestly, one of the most damning things about David Griffin and Trajan Langdon's five-year tenure in charge, who is the best stretch center they have put next to Zion Williamson? The answer to that is Nicolo Melli. Nicolo Melli is the closest thing they've had to a stretch center in the Zion Williamson era. It was obvious what type of player Zion was. He's a power forward who's going to try to put the ball in the rim every single time. And we haven't even seen him get like one real stretch center, whether that's a starter or a backup. So I think that's a huge failing from the front office in these 5 years of the Zion era.
Do you think they extend the series tonight, sir?
I would probably say no. I think it's kind of like that Timberwolves-Suns game. I think it's competitive, but no.
Mr. Christian Clark, as always, man, appreciate the time, sir. See you tonight at the arena.
Yes, sir. I'll see you out there.
Yep. Take care. Quick break. We come back. Mara Jarrez will join us. What happened with the Bucks, the Panthers, and the Falcons? Boy, they've been picked on. It's the Sports Hangover Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Go to the website, nowakeoutfitters.com. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
What would you say you do with these sports?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fan.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
0-3 is the Rooter Man Cam caller and guest hotline. If you'd like to chime into the conversation there, our thanks to Mr. Christian Clark, as always, for joining us and hanging out, giving his thoughts and opinion here as well. Got a lot of Saints sound I'm going to get into here as well, as we have a lot to get into with all the draft players. Looking for your thoughts here as well, but also there are three other teams in the division, and Mr. Mario Jarvis, who filled in admirably for me last week. Thank you so much, sir, for doing that. Thank you for joining us. The other three teams in the division, man, how do you think they did overall? What do you think of the Saints draft overall, Mario?
Hey, what's up, Gus? Saints overall, I thought it was pretty good, you know, address needs, at least to start. We talked a lot about the offensive line on the show last week when I was filling in for you. That was with all the Saints guests. Like, that was the first thing they had to address. You did that, which was good. I like the pick of Kool-Aid McKinstry. Obviously, LSU fans are very familiar with him. Somebody who's really pro-ready, and it's going to add depth to a spot that is pretty strong for the Saints right now, but somebody who's going to contribute early on. And we'll get into the other teams in the NFC South here. Not super exciting besides what Atlanta did, which is kind of wild. But all in all, enjoy the NFL draft, man.
Yeah, I thought, you know, when you look at it, too, and obviously we were looking at some of the locals here. I think Pratt to Green Bay is a nice pick for him. Because I look at him as a guy that, if there's anything we've seen last year, you're going to need a backup at some point. And one of the, I guess, the highlights that people kept saying about Pratt, especially at the Senior Bowl, was he was a guy that picks up the offense, the plays quickly, and then starts helping the other players run the offense and run the plays and doing that. And I almost think you need that, Mario, because as you know, when you go to practice or you've been to Saints camp, those backups, I don't know how you develop. You're not getting the snaps. You know what I mean? And on team drills, you get like two snaps, and you hope that the center, who's like not going to be there in 3 weeks, you know, snaps you a worm burner, and then you hand it off. I mean, that's your team drills. That's your team snaps. So I like Pratt going there here as well. We saw a couple of Tulane players move on there as well. Some LSU players get picked, not just in the first round, but afterwards. So I thought overall, locally, lots of talent in the state went.
Yeah, Pratt going to Green Bay is interesting for sure. I mean, you can't simulate experience, right? Somebody who's played that much football, although you do fight through the injuries towards the end, is somebody very valuable to add to your team. And on the other side of the token, I think with the Saints taking Spencer Rattler, I think that's somebody who is experienced, but you're definitely betting on his upside, right? And based on who the Saints assigned a quarterback this offseason, there's not much upside based on the football they've already played, right? So I like that pick for the Saints too, although it might be for a different reason. But you can, again, we'll get into Atlanta in a second, but quarterback depth is normally a good thing. And Green Bay adding Pratt, I think, falls into that category. And the Saints adding Spencer Rattler is definitely interesting, man. I'm definitely pumped to broadcast Spencer Rattler in the Saints uniform throughout the preseason because he's going to get a lot of run.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's going to look into it because, I mean, I know everyone's like, well, look at how many quarterbacks you already have in the room and everything. I'm like, great, yeah, five. All right, that's right. But, I mean, let's be honest, when we announced that Kellen Mond or Nathan Peterman were there, we probably got snarky texts from our friends. Oh, that's a real championship move, right? And, I mean, I don't know anybody that – I've never seen a player not get along nearly as well with the fan base as Derek Carr. What I mean by that is it's one-sided. I mean, they booing the guy. So, I mean, look, the Saints have – it's going to be a bit for them to do that. Because, I mean, look, again, I'm looking at others, and you're about to tell us about the division, but my goodness, I mean, the Eagles are acting like they haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years. You know, with some of the moves they made, like what they did there. Minnesota, I thought, got some good picks. NFC got, you know, got a little talent there going.
Yeah, for sure. And you have to be realistic, I think, to your team's specific situation. You know, it's important to take risks, but it's also important to kind of know where you stand and what your pressing needs are, right? So that's why getting into the division a little bit, I thought what the Falcons did was wild. Like, and they did address some team needs. If you look top to bottom who they got, they did get a cornerback. They got a bunch of defensive linemen. Picks 2 through 4 were all pass rushers or all defensive linemen, I mean. So they did address some of their needs. But the thing with Penix is a situation where you could end up looking great if this prophecy that that Raheem Morris talks about in the soundbite that I provided for you comes true. But you're really putting a lot of pressure on yourself to have early success with Kirk Cousins. And let's not forget, Raheem Morris seems to be inheriting a pretty good situation. I know they feel good about him, but he's still 21-38 as an NFL head coach, and you're putting a lot of confidence in him to succeed right away. So if you do have that soundbite, if not, no big deal, but if you do have that, he kind of talks about the logic of why they took Penix despite giving all this money to Kirk Cousins.
What, do you have it in the Morris? I'm trying to look for it.
My bad. It's in the Sports Hangar
yep.
for sound.
No, I know. What is it labeled? I see the Bucks. I see Xavier.
Yeah, it should be the dates and then Raheem Morris on. Dang, I lost it to now. My bad. But either way, it goes with what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. He basically said the reason that they picked Penix there is because they don't plan on picking there in the future. And that sounds really good on paper, right? And maybe Penix does end up being good in the future. But again, you're putting a lot of faith to win and win right now with a head coach that has a very similar record to Dennis Allen, right? So I just think that's a very interesting draft philosophy there.
Yeah, I don't see Raheem Morris. I got the other two, though.
Oh, okay. All good. Well, we can move on to the next one. But what did you – I know you've talked about it a little bit on your show, but what do you think about the Falcons kind of betting so heavy on Raheem Morris to have success?
Yeah, I think one of the things that stands out to me is it almost looked like, especially when Terry Fontenot was asked about the Penix pick, did you notice he was just going to be like, look, we'll leave those discussions the way he did, and Raheem Morris took a swig of water and answered the question on his own. I thought it was real strange. It kind of seemed, I don't know. I don't know how in line those two were, but it almost felt like he was there to back up Cousins all of a sudden. He goes, well, he acted like you thought he would feel, you know? I mean, it's competition, stuff like, but he wasn't going to answer that. And I think the way Terry Fontenot answered it, and he kind of swigged that water and said, you know what, here we go. And he closed the cabinet and he went into it. That stood out to me, and then Blank's reaction to it. It's just very strange. Look, I understand getting a quarterback to develop on. Look, we just talked about Jordan Love a little bit. He showed last year, sitting around waiting, being ready to go, was good. So I think it's where in the value, right? Like you just mentioned Spencer Rattler. Perfect. Sit a year or two, compete to be the backup next year, see what happens in 2-3 years. Perfect. In the fifth round. That makes sense. The thing is, if you thought Michael Penix was that, why are you going for Kirk Cousins and spending $180 million? And if you're going to do that, the other aspect is he's 24. He's not 20 or 21. Does that make sense? If he's sitting for 2-3 years, he's almost 27 years old and hasn't played a snap. That's, I think, the thing that people are looking at. If you're going to go spend 180, you have all this first-round talent around this guy that can come in and help you now, go get a Dallas Turner, go get somebody that can help you right now. Penix isn't going to play, in theory, for 2-3 years, and he's already 24. So I think that's what I think a lot of people naturally are saying.
Yeah, and I saw that press conference too. I think it's kind of funny. And to me, it's funny. It was funny seeing Kirk Cousins kind of getting marketed. You know, he was at the draft party and all this stuff, and then all of that went down. And he doesn't do any media appearances.
You just hear, come on, you know, out and hang out with Kirk Cousins with the eighth pick, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Actually, they gave me all this money. So, yes, that's very far from the course of the Atlanta Falcons, right?
That would have been a good Monday meeting, huh? Like today or Friday, I guess, with Mark. And be like, guys, could you have told me you were taking a quarterback? Because that was really awkward.
Yeah, it's a cruel irony for him, because when he went to Atlanta, the logic was, oh, finally a team believes in me, you know, no doubt. And then right away.
Nope.
Exactly.
What about Tampa, man? Look, I think a lot of people look at Tampa and that they take that center in that first round. But after that, what do you see what Tampa did?
If anything, I think they did a good job addressing their needs. I think Graham Barton seems like somewhat of a risky pick. I know some people think he's no doubt. Some people seem to think that he is not as pro ready. But if that does pan out, you're looking at a really good compliment to Tristan Wirfs. And nobody else in the division really has two bookends at tackle like that. So if that pick does pan out, it could be a really good first-round pick. And then with the rest of the draft, I think they did a really good job addressing their needs, if anything. They got Bucky Irving, a running back who I think is solid and pretty pro-ready. Chris Braswell is a defensive lineman from Alabama that finally got some run this season, got 8.5 sacks, and the assistant general manager, let's see, what was this guy's name? the assistant GM for the Bucks, because they didn't make their main GM available, talked about Chris Braswell.
John Spytek. That sounds like a real good name. Like that.
There you go.
That sounds like something I would use as a gamer tag. John Spytek. Here's what he had to say.
Went to Alabama to compete. He wanted to go play with the best. He ends up behind Will Anderson and Dallas Turner, two really high-end players. And he, when he came in here and visited with us here, he was, you ever think about leaving? No, why would I leave? I picked Alabama. I love Alabama. I'm not afraid of competition. I believe in myself. This is where I want to be. And got to learn from two really good guys that he considered to be really good teammates. And then you put the tape on. He finally gets a chance to play this year, and he produces with 8 sacks, and he's our kind of guy.
There you go. Look, I'm hitting the top of the hour. We'll come back here at 2:45 and talk about the Panthers, because it's crazy. Last year, they had the number one pick. They didn't obviously pick in the first round, but I have no idea what they did over the weekend. So let's talk a little bit about that here as well, get some final thoughts, and I'll get your prediction for Game 4 tonight. Will the Pels extend the series? Don't tell me now. Tell me at 2:45, Mario.
Sounds good, man. We'll talk then.
All right, sounds good. Yep, Ross Jackson is going to join us next. Who else to go to when it's time to recap and go through all the different picks they had? I got plenty of sound to get to here as well. As far as at 1:15, Marlon on the LSU players and his thoughts at 2:15. Leo Haggerty on the NFC South as well, 2:30. And open phone lines. Hour 1's been brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast, NoWakeOutfitters.com. Hour 2 next on ESPN New Orleans.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful.